Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the After Show. It is, we're recording this on Sunday, April 26th. My name is Mike Rose, and I'm joined, as always, by Kelly Guimont.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kelly. So, as I was saying, no, just kidding. It's been a little while. It's been a few weeks
where
we have been lax. I think we were in holding mode for just a while as the entire geek universe held their breath and their wrists waiting for the thing, the shiny object.
The new hotness.
Before we talk about the new hotness, just a moment of real world recognition. As our listeners no doubt know, an incredibly destructive and tragic earthquake occurred in Nepal, affecting Kathmandu and the surrounding area this weekend. And I actually have a colleague who is, fortunately, he is safe. He is a gentleman named Tim Clark. He's from the UK. He is a colleague of mine, and he is on a hike, technically still, from up to Everest boot camp from Kathmandu, which he was doing in memory of his father, who passed away a couple of years ago. So Tim is now stranded. He is stuck in Namche, which is a town on the way to Everest, to the base camp, and not sure when or how he's going to be able to get out of the country. But we are all keeping a good thought for him, and of course, all the hundreds of thousands of people actually who are affected by this disaster. If you want to follow Tim and see what's up with him, you can find him at Tim X Clark, and that's Clark with an E at the end. So TimXClarke on Twitter. I'm sure he would appreciate knowing that the folks are thinking about him and that he is going to hopefully make his way home. But there's no such, there is no home to go back to for so many who are in Nepal. So if you have a preferred charity, the International Red Cross or any aid organizations that you feel that appropriate to donate to, please do so. And thank you from the After Show. Now,
yes, and I will pitch in that if you kind of don't know where to start with something like that, the Red Cross is always a really good way to go because they're always Johnny on the spot in a really awful situation, and they're always there to help and make things happen for people. The second one I will mention is one that actually is based here in Portland, and that's Mercy Corps, and they do a lot of similar work. So if Great you suggestion. Are looking for one to start with, there's a couple right there for you.
Yep, and the American Red Cross you can actually donate to through the iTunes Store and the App Store directly if you choose to do so. I don't know if you can do so from your wrist just yet, but I bet you will be able to soon. So, Kelly G.
Yes, Michael T.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
I do not, nor do I have an order in for one.
Nor do I. And let's talk about what's going on with that.
First of all, let me tell you what a relief it is to not be the only one.
Oh my gosh. You feel like you have phantom limb syndrome. Where's my watch?
Well, and I have the problem of, the rest of the time it's not a problem. And that is working at Mac Observer, writing over there with a bunch of people who all have them or have them on order. So
it's otherwise known as the annoying ones.
Yes. The tragedy of not having had it on 0 day. That's the biggest problem I'm seeing right now with the Apple Watch is all of the people who either stayed up late or got up early in order to order the moment they went on sale and are still not going to get one until, you know, later in May
or June. So,
yeah. Now, the interesting thing to me about this is that, first of all, if you were not paying very much attention to the actual release of the Apple Watch, if you were just somebody who, goes outside once in a while and does other things with your life, then...
and really, truly, if you are one of those people, are you actually listening to this podcast? Because if you are, we want to know. Please tell us.
I'm very curious. But if you were one of those people, you may not have even noticed the launch because there weren't a million people waiting in line at the mall in front of the Apple Store. Because this was an exclusively online pre-order. And I believe you could set it up to pick it up.
Yes.
At an Apple Store. If you so desire, you can have it sent to the Apple Store and you can go pick it up. The advantage to that for people who are sort of maybe wondering why anyone would do that. If you are a less technically savvy person, if you have not spent a lot of time researching Apple Watch, watching the guided tour videos on the Apple website or anything like that, then it's entirely possible that you'd like a little help making sure everything gets synced up, making sure everything is working the way it should, that if you have any basic questions just to get started, that you have someone there to do that for you, and they will set up an appointment for you in order to help you make sure that you've got everything up and running, which is a really handy option. And they'll do that for any product. But if you are trying to walk into a store and walk out with one, you have a wait coming.
Yeah.
Because through the end of May, this is going to be the process for purchasing an Apple Watch. You can go online and you can get one. Or whether you use the Apple website or you go to the App Store app. If you go into the store and get a try-on appointment, you can also book a purchasing appointment. And what that means is that someone in the store will help you go online and buy a watch. So either way, you're not going to walk into a store and walk out with one until June at the earliest. Right now, we're just hearing that they have extended the online order only until the end of May. And that's probably going to get revisited.
And I mean, it is hard to remember how much the availability of certain products have been constrained. I think that the original iPhone, the 3GS, and the 4 probably had that really, really tight constraint, but they were never, you know, 2 months, and you have to go in and, you know, sort of have a heart-to-heart with your Apple consultant in order to get them. So this is a very different buying experience for everybody.
Absolutely.
And also just the sheer variety of choice. This is no longer the Apple where every single SKU can fit on a conference table. It would have to be a very large conference table, or possibly they'd have to use miniature versions of the watches. I can sort of say where my head is at with this process of, did I want to pre-order or did I want to get an advance order of something that I haven't had the chance to touch, when it is something that's going to be touching me.
Yeah, that's the thing I thought was particularly clever about the in-store.
Yeah, it's necessary. I mean, you don't want to do it sight unseen or wrist unfelt.
Right.
And I currently am rocking the original Pebble, which I do like and I do enjoy and I do use every day or most every day. But it also is digging a divot into my wrist, and it's, you know, giving me contact dermatitis, and I don't have the geek energy to go and simultaneously pick up a new platform and make fashion decisions for myself. You're asking, in a way, Apple is asking these early adopters who are demonstrably the worst people in the world at making fashion decisions for themselves.
That's the thing I've wondered. Yeah.
It's like you're gonna do it wrong. And you're gonna do it wrong. And it's a $500 doing it wrong
mistake. Yeah,
it's a $500 mistake. Not the watch itself, not the object or the, like, if your only choices were iPhone small, medium, and large, you know, gold, black, or silver, or space gray, there are a limited number of bad choices, and you can always wrap it in a case,
right?
And no one will judge you.
And if it's in your pocket,
yes.
So it's not something that people are going to necessarily see. Like, if you leave your phone in your bag a lot or you leave it in your pocket all the time, then people aren't going to necessarily see it. And even if they do see it, like you said, you could put it in a case. Maybe, you know, maybe the fact that you bought the gold iPhone is your own little secret, you know?
Right.
Whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with the gold iPhone that you couldn't fix with a Sharpie. No, just kidding.
The thing that I thought that was one of the things I thought about when they were talking about the watch was, I'm like, the people who are going to be first in line for this are, you're asking those people to make fashion decisions. And clearly it may be the first time any of these people have actually made a fashion decision.
No, see, I don't want to say that, but I guess someone has to say it.
Well, I'm going to step up and say it, because I know a lot of people who are really excited about the watch who are kind of those folks. Now, I will point out one person in particular, whom I know, who purchased a watch, who actually got it on Zero Day.
Yeah.
And that's Katie Floyd. And she was looking at the entry level, the sport model. And then I think she said her mom pointed out, you know, the stainless mesh, the Milanese loop, I think is the one I'm thinking of. If you were to go with that, then it would look nice with all of your other stuff. And, you know, you are a professional. She's a lawyer the rest of the time. And, you know, this is something that if you want to wear it all the time, like, it needs to look like it's part of your outfit and not stick out. So maybe this is the way that you should go. And so that is ultimately what she ended up doing. And I think that there are maybe a lot of people who don't necessarily do that. And like you said, you know, this is not a mistake that's easy to correct, because A, you're out the money. B, suppose you try to exchange it, like, good luck, you're going to have to return it and get a gift card and come back in God only knows when, you know, or cash it in online and hope that you're not at the end of a very, very, very long line for something in particular. So, yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff. And the reason I think it's going to be interesting is because I know Dave Hamilton, who is an admitted watch guy. And one of the things...
Are you, sir, an admitted watch guy?
Admit it.
Don't wait for the translation. Answer it now.
So, and one thing that he said was he has tried on some watches. He has really liked some watches and then put them on his arm and been like, yeah, no. Uh-uh. And he's also seen some watches and been like, and then put it on and was like, hey, all right. This is actually great, like, on. So I think the try-on is a really smart idea, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all turns out. Now, here's why I'm not waiting for one.
Okay.
Well, I am waiting, but I'm basically waiting for the second one. And the reason for that is I am apparently of a rare breed, and that is a Mac user on a budget.
What?
So no. I know it's the weirdest thing. So
it is, and this is. I mean, it goes to my longstanding statement about Mac users, which is that they are the people you want to market to because they've already demonstrated a willingness to spend more than absolutely necessary for the bare minimum of technology.
They would rather
pay more for more features. So
yes,
but
and I did that. I have a brand new laptop.
Woohoo!
13-inch Retina display, the new one with the Force Touch trackpad.
Mm,
here's my official review of the Force Touch trackpad. It's that noise that Homer Simpson makes about donuts.
Donuts.
And here's the reason. It's a very small thing. It's my hand. I have small hands, and I am used to having to reach all the way down. I got pretty adept back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean PowerBook 520 back in the day.
That is back in the day.
I got really adept at typing with my hands on the keyboard and then maneuvering the trackpad and the trackpad button with my thumbs and just sort of like cocking my wrists down a little bit and navigating everything that way instead of moving my entire hand down and using my fingers on the trackpad and my thumb on the button. So when they got rid of the button and the trackpad became the button, which was very zen, it got a little easier for me to maneuver those. But now I don't have to move all the way down to the bottom of the trackpad anymore. I can do all that stuff basically without moving my hands at all off of the keys. And it is beautiful. Hmm. It is the most wonderful thing. The trackpad is more responsive. I really like that second. The Force Touch or the whatever they're calling it,
the Force Touch, the power click or the Force Touch.
The power click, that second click, it's really nifty. I enjoy it very, very much. So if you're interested at all, it's definitely something to look at. My fondest wish is that the Magic Trackpad will also go Force Touch eventually. And ultimately that the new keyboard will also come to maybe the Apple Wireless model. And then I will buy one in a heartbeat because I have a long standing rivalry, hatred, whatever, of the current Chiclet keyboard. I don't like it. Not one little bit. Anyway, so I just got that within the last month. Mm-hmm. And pulled the trigger on the Retina upgrade because the Retina tax is no longer quite as onerous as it once was.
True enough.
Because when I first bought my last computer like 3 years ago, I think it was a $600 Retina tax, and I just couldn't bring myself to pay it. And it's a lot less now, so I did. And boy, howdy, am I glad. Also, at my house, the way we have our mobile plan set up mm-hmm. is that one of us upgrades every year. So this last fall, it was Mr. Kelly's turn. He went to the 6, and I'm on the evolution track. So I'm in line for the 6S this fall. So I just, when you add those two things, like, I don't get three things.
There are no third things in my future.
Not for Kelly. So basically what I'm doing is waiting until the second one, and I'm hoping that, like the iPhone and like the iPad, that this is something that works in my favor. I did not have the original iPhone. I had to wait until there was a 3G version for a bunch of reasons. And then I also didn't have the first generation iPad. I had the second generation iPad. So I don't mind waiting. And in this case, it's a completely new thing. So it's not like there's a hole in my life that needs to be filled and this is going to do it. So the thing that's actually sort of funny to me is that, I used to wear a watch all the time, and I quit wearing a watch because I prefer to wear a watch with a metal band, a stainless band. And I stopped wearing it because I have bad typing posture. And my wrists hit the clangety, clangety, clangety. Yeah, and I didn't want to beat the crap out of my beautiful computer, and so I took off my watch when I was typing. And then it got to where I was basically taking my watch off all the time, and then I'm like, well, I'll get ahead of myself by just not putting it on. Ha ha. And
I've outsmarted you. Wait a minute.
Except it's me. So here we are. That's basically what happened. So that's why I'm not getting one. Is it's a budgetary thing, and that's Kelly's iPhone money. So
well, and I'm, why am I not getting one? Well, I may be getting one, but I'm not. I did not want to be in the front of the line, and it's a weird. Well, it's not that weird a feeling. It's very. it's relatively unusual for me to buy anything first day.
That's true.
I'm not that guy. I think the iPad Air was one of the very few things that I did buy day one, where I walked over to the Apple Store, Fifth Avenue, and I actually mm-hmm. bought one. And I have not regretted it. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, no.
My wife's third gen or fourth gen, whatever the 2014 model, I guess it was the previous MacBook Air, not the current Force touchable MacBook Air,
mm-hmm.
or not the current MacBook, but the previous gen MacBook Air with the 11-hour battery life and the, mm-hmm. the enhanced processor. That was basically like day two, because we needed it, and it was the time to do it, and it didn't require a lot of thought. So,
and that's wise advice. If you need it, like, don't sit around and wonder. Like, if it's time to pull the trigger on something like a new computer or a new phone, just pull the trigger. Like, you got to do what you got to do. There's always going to be something better. Like, you're just going to have to get used to that.
Well, I mean, there's the utility of having it. You know, the sooner you have it, the more mm-hmm. overall utility, the more overall use and value you are going to get out of it. So
precisely.
We don't have to get into it like a deep philosophical. The nature of consumerist behavior, and what is the where does a MacBook Air fit on Maslow's hierarchy of needs? It's somewhere somewhere above Wi-Fi, but below oxygen. But the point of this reiteration of my buying habits, which is that I am not a first day guy,
mm-hmm.
despite having been for 8 or 9 years someone who is writing about these devices very early in their life cycle. But I don't have the patience really to stand in line and be that dude. I just don't. So now that I don't have to feign the willingness to stand in line.
Yeah.
I never did. I mean, if I was standing in line, I was covering it. I wasn't actually shopping.
Right.
But I feel like I am clearly a smartwatch buyer. I already have a smartwatch.
True.
I am the sort of person who buys smartwatches. I am the sort of person who buys Apple equipment. Hence, I am going to get an Apple Watch. It is a matter of time. It's not like I can step out of the way of this train.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do want to think about it a little while longer, and I want to give time for at least the first software upgrade. I want to hear what the market is saying. I want to talk to the people who've had it a little longer, and there is believe me, there's so much utility I could get out of an Apple Watch. I could be able to respond to texts. I could be able to, you know, get those walking directions without taking my phone out of my pocket. Even having the Pebble has cut down tremendously on the number of round trips of my phone from my pocket to in front of my face. And that's great. I can see who I can see who's calling. I can see what the alert is. I can see whether it's somebody favoriting something or it's somebody who's actually trying to get my attention. I have colleagues who now know that because they're on my VIP list, when they email me, it will ping the watch. So one guy in particular loves to send me an email as I'm leaving his desk so that when I get about 30 feet away, he can see me stop and glance at my watch and then turn around and, you know, shake my finger at him. It's like, I'll get you. He gets a big thrill out of it. But all that said, I'm not missing out on so much between the Pebble and the Apple Watch that I am willing to do it sight unseen. I need to find the time to go look at it and decide what I want.
Well, you have that experience already.
Right.
That's sort of the thing. So, you know, it's not like you're not me because I'm missing out on the entire thing because I don't even have a Pebble or anything like that. So, what I'm hoping is that like the first generation iPad, like once everybody had them in their hands for like a week, everybody went, yeah, this would be awesome if it had a camera. And then the second version had a camera. And there have been adjustments since, but most of them have been speed because the second generation was when it went Retina.
Yeah.
And so everything since then has basically been innards. You know, they get a little thinner, they get a little lighter, but it's mostly guts. It's mostly been the chip is faster. It's got Touch ID now. You know, those kind of things, not necessarily a material difference in the actual device. So I'm sort of hoping that whatever people figure out is the obvious thing to add for 2.0. That'll be when I can jump on that bandwagon. I'm excited to get one eventually. It's just that now is not the time because apparently I'm a unicorn.
you're a very special unicorn. So, I mean, that's sort of where we're at. And we wanted to keep it a quick return show. We are going to do our darndest, with the possible exception of some vacation time coming up. We're going to do our darndest to be on a weekly cadence for now. We would love to hear from you guys about what you want to hear about. We're going to try and tighten up our game. But Kelly, anything that is top of mind for you that we did not talk about, Apple Watch, what is going on with App Camp for Girls? What do you want to share with the peoples?
Well, we have this year we are going international. There will be a Vancouver, BC App Camp for Girls this summer. There's two sessions in Seattle.
Yes.
And there are two sessions in Portland. I'm sorry. There'll be a session in Seattle and a session in Vancouver, BC. So we have expanded the first year. You know, we did the proof of concept. You know, this is working. We know it's a thing. We know it's possible to spend the week and get something good out of it for everybody. So we did that. And then the next wave was, we put one up in Seattle and did App Camp for Girls in Seattle. Someone else was in charge of it. It was sort of up to them. And then the Portland folks were available as a resource. So if something were to happen, if somebody really had a question that was, you know, something that really needed answered right away, things like that, you know, what's the stuff that we sort of took for granted or, you know, understood inherently that nobody in Seattle would have known about, you know, because they weren't part of building it in the first place. So we had the first was, can we do it? And then the second was, can we export it? And now, this summer it's going to be, can we, take it international?
Mm-hmm.
So Canada, which I know to some people is only sort of international, but it counts. You have to have a passport to get there. So I'm counting it. And the thing that I always like to tell people about App Camp for Girls is that is two things that are really important. And one of them is at a bunch of steps along the way, I kept saying, now it's a thing. I kept telling Gene McDonald, who was the founder of App Camp. So I'd say, now it's a thing. Well, we have a Twitter account. Now it's a thing. We have a website. Now it's a thing. We have people signed up for camp, people who have paid tuition to get their daughters into camp. Now it's a thing. Like, you know, first thing Monday morning when we've got a dozen girls waiting for us to, like, you know, rock and roll, I looked at Gene. I said, I guess now it's a thing. So I just sort of kept saying it. And now that like people are interested from other places, if you're somebody who is interested and wants to find out what it would take to put up AppCamp for girls in your area for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade girls to learn about iOS programming, and this is all aspects of iOS programming. We don't just plop them down in front of Xcode for 5 days. If you do want to find out, you can go to appcamp4girls.org and you can find out more about us and the program and what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it's going to be a complete blast. We're doing two sessions again this summer. I'm mm-hmm. super excited to be volunteering for it. If you are interested in trying to put this up, you can fill out the volunteer form and one of us will get back to you and talk to you about what it takes to have AppCamp for Girls where you are. I'm super excited about it this year for a bunch of reasons. First of all, it's AppCamp and I'm always excited about it. Second of all, we have some volunteers coming who are going to then go home and take what they learn during the time that they're here and figure out how to build AppCamp in their own city, which is super exciting. And
it's AppCamp in a kit.
Yeah. So like we're trying to figure out like, how do we, you know, bundle this up and, you know, give it to somebody and say, here, go build AppCamp. And the second thing I like to tell people about AppCamp is that I got involved with AppCamp I stayed involved with AppCamp for purely selfish reasons. I'm tired of being the only girl. And the only way that I can stop doing that is not to sit and talk about it, and it's to actually do something.
Right.
So because I live in Portland, and this is what Portland does, is we go build it. We went and built it. And I got involved and I initially got involved because Jean McDonald took me to lunch one day and said, I have this idea. And I said, tell me what you need me to do. She said, I didn't even tell you my idea. I'm like, it's yours. I'm in.
It's going to be good.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I'm pretty sure you thought about it a lot before you ever came to me. So yeah, I'm in. And it's a complete blast. Like I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity to actually get to contribute. And one of the great things for me about AppCamp is showing off all of the aspects of software development. Like there's always a moment when somebody realizes that they draw really well and they don't have sort of a hard time wrapping their head around Xcode, but it occurs to them that every game they play on their phone, everything that they play on the iPad, all of those games, all of those apps, all of those everything, they all required somebody to put graphics into them. Like every image that you see as part of any software had to come from somebody. Mm-hmm. And to be the person who puts all that together, like for some people, that's the really exciting piece. We have Krista Morgan come in from Rogue Amoeba. And she comes in and talks about design. And we get, you know, we take them on a field trip. We go to a actual software development place and ruin them forever for cubicles, which is
so
really
cruel.
Great because
it's
we've taken them to Panic and we've taken them to Urban Airship. And both of those are places that do not subscribe to those weird fabric-y walls. So we're actually really excited about it. And I really like getting the opportunity at the end of the week, they have to show off their app to a panel of investors. And I like getting to talk to them about it. I like getting to see what kind of ideas they have. And, you know, all of it is amazing. If you ever get an opportunity, absolutely check it out. It's a complete blast. And we have opportunities for people to help out who, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a woman in order to be a contributor to AppCamp. So absolutely get in touch with us.
Excellent.
So, there's my big AppCamp pitch. How about you? What's on the top of your mind right now?
I've been keeping very busy. Things at Ye Olde Salesforce are quite hectic. working on a couple of writing projects, but nothing of fruition at the moment. But enjoying watching the tech world from a slightly more relaxed position of not covering it actively.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying reading what you guys are doing at Mac Observer. I'm enjoying reading iMore and you know, just sort of keeping an eye on things without having to be sort of embroiled in the day-to-day mm-hmm. news cycle. It's kind of nice. but anyway,
you sort of look at Apple World today and you kind of go, That's awesome. I'm over here.
I'm thrilled for the guys. I'm thrilled for Steve and Kelly and Dave, and they're doing great work. But for me, I am taking that little break. And we are going to take a break for the next few days. We will be back with you in a week. You are, of course, able to find us. Kelly, of course, where can they find you directly?
You can find me as Verso on Twitter, and you can find me writing explainy posts over on MacObserver.com and occasionally on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast and over at the British Tech Network.
Excellent. You can occasionally find me on the British Tech Network when I can find time to be on the show, as we've discussed. But you can also find me at Mike T. Rose on the Twitters. And you can find us both here at the After Show, the_AfterShow on Twitter and AfterShowPodcast.com. We will be back next week. Definitely.
And I want to give a special shout out. And of course, I'm going to need you to fill in a name for me, Mike, on the person who kicked this off for us.
The person who kicked this off. Oh, yeah. So Chris Fuller.
Chris Fuller. Yes.
Chris, thank you very much. Chris is also on Twitter. What is Chris's handle? We're going to find this out.
Fuller?
I think I mentioned him directly.
You did.
When we were talking.
Well, you mentioned him to me. And then
yes.
It's on Twitter. So, yeah, I'm sure it's in there.
It's in there. So, yes. So, Chris.
He asked what happened.
He asked when the next show was. He said, when is the next show going to be? And I said, well, we got to get our act together. It's at Fuller C.
Fuller C. Okay.
At Fuller C. So Chris, when I saw him in Chicago, he's a colleague of mine. He actually is based in Atlanta, but I met him in Chicago. And he is a listener. So Chris, congratulations. You win the Listener of the Week Award. You are the inaugural winner of the Listener of the Week Award.
I am delighted we have one. That was really all I came down to was, not only is someone listening, they cared.
They cared. They cared enough to ask.
They cared that we're not there. Yeah. So we're going to try harder to be back now because we don't want to let Chris down.
Because getting in your RSS feeds is the best thing that we can possibly do.
Whoever else you are who is listening, I'm assuming there's more than one of you. I don't think it was Chris that downloaded all those times on the last episode. So for all the rest of you, I'm really excited that you're listening. And let us know in one way or another, whether it's drop us a review in iTunes, hit us up on Twitter, whatever it is. We want to hear about it. And let us know what you would like to have us make sure that we're discussing the things that you want to hear about.
Absolutely. And we will, you know, we can also start working on some guests. You know, guests are good. We have no objection to guests.
Not a bit.
But you know, we need to know who you want to hear from. Who are the voices that you are not hearing in the world of podcasting that you would like to hear? And we will find them.
Yes.
Anywho, so our last show apparently was February 11th. Oh boy, mm-hmm. It's April 26th.
Well,
all right.
Okay, so if we chalk some of it up to March Madness.
Next week we'll be back with more excuses, but in the meantime, thank you for listening. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon.
Be excellent to each other.